Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you.
the deepest part of me. Well, that is a mouthful. And for those who just tuned in, you've tuned in to WSCIRO, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I'm Dr. Shirley Kenneth, one of the general managers, along with my husband, Jeffrey, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth. You want to say hi, Jeff?
Good afternoon, folks.
Yeah, and we just are, you know, kind of winding down in the Thanksgiving weekend, and I just want to wish everyone, I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving, and now we're into the Advent season, okay, where we're just waiting upon, you know, just wait in that season of waiting, you know, waiting to go deeper into the things of God, you know, just waiting on what the Lord wants for this generation in this day and age. But in the waiting, there's a lot of praying that has to happen and a lot of anticipation and expectation. But a lot of times in this, you know, we have heavy hearts, and this is what this show is going to be emphasizing. Get into the deeper parts of the Lord in our relationship with Him, in our intimacy with Him, you know, in the deepest part of our heart. But it, until then, we have to understand what why the Lord is so concerned with our hearts. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk, this whole thing is the new hearts and the kingdom of God. And how do we respond to the kingdom of God? How do we, how, you know, are we called in that? We're going to look at scriptures. We're going to read and study, and I'll have those posted on our new Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group, and I'll talk to you about that in a second. But we're going to look at Ezekiel 36. We're going to study more on the new heart, and this is going to be a part one because we're going to, the part two is going to be looking at the issues of the heart. And how to bring, you know, how to engage in the ministry of restoration as a leader and as an everyday believer, okay, in Yeshua. We're going to look at Matthew, the scripture in Matthew 11:11, which kind of tells you, you know, how we need to be tenacious in faith in the things of God and pursuing the kingdom, and how we have to be pursuers of the kingdom because it suffers violence. You know, there's you know, the blood of Jesus is an avenger. It avenges the kingdom of darkness, and you know, when we receive Jesus and we call upon His name and we ask for the covering of His blood, what happens is that, you know, that there's something that arises within us because of His blood. And the kingdom of God is a pursuing of the kingdom, like a tenacious faith that arises, and you have to apprehend it. There's no stopping, you know. There's no holds on this. You know, we are pursuing the kingdom, and the righteous are taking it by force, by the power of the blood that has been lavishly out, you know, poured out upon them. Upon us, you know, through Jesus Christ, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, we're going to talk more about that, and then there's going to be a prayer of impartation. But and I'm also going to share with you some dreams that the Lord had put in my heart about, you know, what He is concerned about in the body of Christ. Which can affect you if you are a baptized believer and an individual that's listening to this broadcast, okay? It affects me because not only because I received the dream, but, you know, what happens is that when you receive something from the Lord, you're compelled to act, you know, according to the dictates of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit-to-Spirit communication. So, there was something that was required of me, and I did it, and it was concerning Israel, and I want to talk to you about that. But it's in lieu of the prayer ministry that we established on Facebook, and it was God's perfect timing, and it was His rightful timing. But before we all go into that, we want to dedicate this broadcast to the Holy Spirit, and also to those who the Lord called by name to come alongside of us to become part of our intercessory prayer team, for Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group on Facebook. So we'll talk more about that, but Jeff is going to begin to lead us in prayer, and I'll jump in, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads me to do that. So Jeff, honey, do you want to begin the prayer? Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes, Lord.
We praise you and we thank you.
Mm.
Lift up your name before the world, Lord.
Yes.
And we praise you and thank you for your glory. Thank you for being willing to interact with mankind. Thank you for taking away the transgressions that long ago were obstacles to that intimate interaction with us, Lord. And we thank you for your work at Calvary. And we thank you for the freedom of being the sons and daughters of God.
Yes, Lord.
Becoming children of the Father instead of creatures of God. Totally different position, Lord. The Father had planned to adopt us into His family, and we thank Him for that adoption. And Jesus, we thank you for the establishment of your kingdom on earth through the cross, through the shed blood that you offered up on Calvary that would free us from sin and darkness. And we thank you, Lord, and teach us and show us through the Holy Spirit how we can continue in the struggle against sin and darkness so that we can be true and complete overcomers, Lord, against strongholds, against sin, against willful disobediences, Lord. And thank you, Jesus.
I have a scripture reading from Psalm 51. It's a prayer that we pray every now and then so we can check our hearts before the Lord, you know, ask the Lord to take away all unrighteousness. It's actually a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And because this program is going to emphasize and teach more about the new heart and the kingdom of God as it relates to the kingdom of God within us, I thought it was appropriate for all of us here, whoever comes to listen to this broadcast, whether live or whether archived, that it's really good to examine your heart with Psalm 51. Okay. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, that I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice, revive and rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all of my iniquity. Create within me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, O Lord, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a contrite and broken heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And we just thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you for the joy of our salvation.
Thank
we thank you for what you want to do in the heart of mankind in this day and age and this hour of salvation history. I just want to again welcome you to all of you to Faith Talks Live Prayer here on Blog Talk Radio, WSCIRO. And I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff. My husband here is Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. And I just want to just give a testimony of something that the Lord established. And he's been talking to us about this within the last 2 years when we first started Blog Talk Radio, February 2009. Blog Talk Radio has a feature on it. It's a chat room feature. But I had a hard time maneuvering it, and I really heard the Lord say that he wants us to establish a 24/7 prayer chat, because what will happen is, you know, as he gives us these teachings from heaven, many people get blessed and they want some kind of prayer dialogue. And it was just a matter of time, you know, that we were going to do this. I looked into different ways of having group chat. We looked into Pal Talk, and different places that cost a lot of money, and money that we just don't have. You know, we're just barely paying a monthly bill for Blog Talk Radio, so we can have more of an option of editing, and we can have better quality broadcast and different things like that. And so we brought it to prayer. We're like, Lord, you know what our finances are like. Either you're going to bless us, or you're just going to have to move in people to offer services for free. And so Facebook has had, up until recently, up until the last couple of weeks, they had only individual chat. So, you know, every once in a while, a friend from India or wherever, you know, if they have, you know, if they understand where that feature is in Facebook, they could pop up anytime. You can actually have a conversation in real time. And, you know, and it was always fruitful, but I always had this desire. I wish I could have more than one person, a team, praying for this individual or that individual, and a page where we can come together, we can fellowship, we can upload teachings and documents under the document settings. And I was actually seeing a vision when I was bringing this before the Lord, something where, you know, people can post the wall, you know, post on the wall, and maybe we can share, all share administrative privileges. So up until 2 weeks ago, when I was just kind of going around the back office, because Facebook had made all kinds of changes and I wanted to see what they were, I noticed that there was a group chat, and I didn't see that there before. So I decided, all right, I'm going to just see what this is all about. I have several groups up there, but I said, there's something very different about this particular group chat, and I want to find out what it was. That's how the Lord sparked my curiosity, and I saw what it was. Okay, and I just kind of like was playing around with it. Then I put it on the back burner for a couple of days. Then the Lord gave me this dream, and it was concerning Israel. And I'd like to share this with you. I posted this on Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group, and I'll tell you how you can access this and join. It is an open group. But I want to go to my documents. I talked about this dream that I had, which actually inspired me. It catapulted me into praying, you know, into like 24/7 prayer and sounding the alarm, okay? And then the Lord used someone else, a friend of a friend who was an intercessor, who actually was on one of our broadcasts. His name is Lars Knutson. He blew the shofar. And wouldn't you know it, this is the first day that we actually became official on Facebook as a prayer group. And, you know, he emails me and he says, "Dr. Shirley, I have a friend, Brenda," and Brenda's one of our prayer warriors, "who said that, you know, she woke up 3 a.m, and that's the hour of divine mercy." Okay, that's what the Catholic Christians believe. And at the time, the hour of mercy, 3 o'clock, was the time that Jesus, the first hour of his crucifixion, the hour of mercy. And so it was appropriate that that the Lord would wake somebody up during his time and let them know to sound the alarm, okay? And Lars Knutson has an incredible gift of blowing the shofar as led by the Holy Spirit wherever he is, and wherever he is, things begin to happen. The atmosphere begins to change. Things begin to shift. There's a release. And that's something that the Lord has also given me as a gift, too. That's how we began our media ministry 15 years ago here in the town of Stoughton. One night, the Lord just showed me, blow the shofar and sound the alarm, and I will open up the heavens over the airwaves for different facets of God. And that was our first show that we had done. It lasted about 10 years, and we had produced over 120 shows, all within the time frame of a half an hour. And then public access did change, and everything went to internet, and they also went to the small towns who could afford this instead of going to one studio or Comcast. But so that's how Dr. Shirley got into the television part. And of course, like I shared in the other shows, that I was looking at my transcript because we're going into medical missionary work, and in order to be trained and get accepted to certain programs, they need the history of your education. And I was just looking at my high school transcript from years ago, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I took radio broadcasting, you know, go figure. So the Lord was using my high school, even from my high school training, to train me up. I was a college prep person in high school, but I opted not to take the general speech class because I wanted more out of it. So I got a little adventurous and decided, let me just give a shot at radio broadcasting. And I didn't have a clue as to how it was going to prepare me for this age and for this millennium. So God knows what he does, and he pours the Spirit in the present moment, and he plants seeds in you, and he uses people to teach you for something greater in the future. So for someone needed to know that, they needed to hear that all preparation is not, you know, there's nothing that goes unturned. The Lord does not, he uses every aspect of your life it's to bring him glory. That's all I can say, to bring him glory. All right, so I got off track a little bit, but I wanted to get back to the dream that I had that catapulted me into an urgency to establish a 24/7 prayer line group chat here on Facebook called Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group. And it's connected to the theme of today's show about the new heart, because, you know, we can't pray out of the old stony heart. We have to pray in the new heart. And we have to pray in the kingdom of God that is within us, and we have to release it through the new heart. Okay, and we'll talk more about that. And there was another dream about a heart that I had too, and that's the basis of the teaching, actually. Okay, let's go to Let me just go through the... I'm going to go down and scroll down. I'm right on my trip prayer room chat right now. My whole thing is if I click on that chat group, somebody's praying and I want to jump in, so I'm going to have to not jump in right now. I just want to just see here for a second. Where is it? I think it's the first one. Yep. First one. Okay. See more. I'll keep going down. I know it's here. I know it's here. Jeff, I wish you can help me here find this. Wow. Okay. Isn't that funny? Somebody took it off. My dream. I actually videotaped it. That's the thing. I need to write this down. That's what I need to do. Okay. Now I understand. I have to learn for myself. That was my next step. Anyways, I'm going to share with you this dream. For those who want a video version of it, it is on Faith Talks Live Prayer 24/7 Media Missionary Group. All right. Anyways, my dream. This is how the dream went. I fell asleep, and I thought I was just dreaming. You know, I was just going to go into dream with my regular sleep patterns like I usually do. And I woke up, and I was in Iran, okay? Now, lots of times when the Lord brings me to places in the spirit within my dream life, okay? Sometimes you can have visions in your dreams, or you can be translated in your dreams, or a vision within a dream. It depends on, it's totally dependent upon what the Holy Spirit wills for you, okay? I don't tell the Lord this is how I want to do it, and I don't, you know, I abandon all my control, all my ways to the Lord, and He just acts in it. I gave Him permission to do that, and I think some of you, if you wanted this kind of ministry, you could do the same thing too, all right, but you have to be ready for it, okay? You have to have a clean heart. That's why we, you know, it's another kind of intercessory prayer ministry. It's prophetic in nature. And so, I was brought to Iran, and I really didn't want to be there. Now, if I had a choice in the natural, I definitely would not go to Iran. So, it was definitely a work of the Holy Spirit, okay? And when you're with the Lord, you are protected, and it's spirit-to-spirit communication. And so, I knew I was in Iran. I looked at my husband, who was actually Jesus in disguise, because there were some hints that were dropped along the way in the dream. And I realized it was not my husband, it was Jesus. But first of all, my husband likes to talk to me. We like to have constant dialogue, but in my dreams most of the time he's not saying anything. He's just smiling, and he points at different places, and then different things happen within him, and then I realize it's the Lord. So we went to, we landed, we were flying over Iran, and the country was broken up to three sections. I knew it was Iran in my spirit, I just knew. And the middle section, which was the longest section that was squared off by boundary markers, yellow boundary markers on each side, and the actual thing that was sectioned, the land mass that was sectioned, was red. And as soon as I saw that, I thought warning, and then second, I thought, it's a warning dream, and it's and this red represents the blood of Jesus, mercy. And then next thing you know, I'm in the airport of Iran, and I've never been there in the natural before. And I looked at what I thought was my husband, who I thought was my husband at the time, because he had the likeness of my husband. And I said, why are we in Iran? Don't you know I'd rather be in Israel? I only want to spend 12 to 24 hours in Iran. We cannot be here too long, or we will be, you know, in trouble. That's why I just felt like we're not supposed to be there any longer than 12 to 24 hours. We must leave. We should be in Israel. And right when I said that, then my husband, who was actually Jesus, points to the people in the airport that take your tickets and everything that over the counter. And so we did. We went over there, and I began to, you know, ask, inquire about flights going out. Because first of all, before we went there, when we came back to the airport after we flew over the mass of land, before we even went out to the check-in counter, we saw towards the side in a hidden part of the airport, maybe clandestine, nobody else supposed to know about it, but we certainly did, black fighter jets. And we were actually inside of one of them. It was just really dark, got a really dark feeling. And my stomach was like, this doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel right. You know, something's happening. You know, whenever I get a churning in my stomach, that's where the Holy Spirit sits. That's where the Spirit man and the Holy Spirit interact. When I get that craziness, there's a warfare, there's a battle about ready to happen. Battles will always start in the heavenlies, and then, you know, it depends on what, you know, how it's won in the spirit, it can come to the earth as well. So this is definitely a battle in the heavenlies in this dream, all right, of impending doom, impending battle. And we know right now there's the peace talks have ceased between Iran and Israel, and there's a lot of things going on. You can go to the site to read an article that the Jerusalem prayer team had sent us a couple of days ago. So anyways, after we saw that, then we went right over to the check-in counter, and I began to ask about flights going out, and especially the night flights. And what was told to me by the attendant was, she told me, she said, well, you know, we don't fly at night, so you're going to have to stay overnight, but you won't be able to stay with your husband because of the law. I'm like, what do you mean the law? And I'm like, this is a weird country, you know, what law? And, you know, and I held on to that. And then Jesus, who had the likeness of my husband, and this is the time when I knew he was Jesus, start to speak through the mic, because that was their security system, to the person on the other side. And it was like a man. I spoke to the woman, he spoke to the man, and it was received through the microphone in the form of their language, Aramaic, or whatever they speak. Now, I know there's several Middle East dialects, but this sounded so much like Aramaic, which is the common language, the common everyday merchant language of the Middle East. And I'm like, how did my husband know this? He hasn't taken Hebrew or Upan or. And then I'm like, oh. And then I realized it's Jesus. I said, oh, okay. And so, whatever was released in the atmosphere, the Lord was going, I got, as I was waking up, the Lord was going before us. He was going before the situation. And he was saying that because it concerns Israel, the apple of his eye, it is, you know, he's in control. It's in his control. So whatever's happening right now in the Middle East, it's Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is well aware of this. And he's doing things. He's working behind the scenes. I began to ask this particular Iranian citizen who was just waiting, like we were, what this is all about. And he said that it's the before any particular conflict or battle, the men you know, have to separate from their wives. If they don't, there could be harsh penalties, penalty of death, you know, and you know, because of their disobedience. They have to go into prayer, and then they go to battle. And so the country was placed on alert status, and everybody was walking on eggshells. And so my Jesus, who was posing as my husband, we had to find a place to stay so that we can take the first morning flight out. And as we were seeking shelter, we went to this hotel that looked like it was in the hangar of an airport, or the cockpit of the air. Or the airplane, or something like that, within the hangar of the airport, and they didn't know we were there, and I got a little fearful, but I knew that I was with Jesus, and I was okay, and then I held onto Jesus' hand when I was laying down, and, you know, because I was asked not to say anything, and then I fell asleep, and then I woke up. I woke up, came to, and I was on my prayer couch, and I knew that there was an urgency from here on then. I knew there was an urgency for prayer, and when I get that sense of urgency, there's something that's not good if certain actions in the Holy Spirit are not carried out. And so the first thing I got in my spirit was sound the alarm of prayer. That's when I put up the Faith Talks Live prayer, and it was, you know, and the Lord had already given us the vision for something of this nature for now, 2 years ago, but now is the time. And so then he began to wake up other intercessors who I don't know. I knew maybe one or two. One is an internet student of mine, Shelley, who apparently is an intercessor and has connections, and so, you know, with intercessors throughout the world. And so she, let her intercessory friends know. And then people that had listened to the radio broadcast also, like Lars, had connected with me as well. So everyone for this immediate beginning has come forward. And so, you know, we started inviting on our own. It's an open group right now. And we started with, I think, 81 or 89 people that the Lord put on our hearts that are intercessors. They have major ministry that may need some prayer, and we just invited them as regular members so that they know we are here and we are praying for them. But there's a level two way to become a member and an administrator. You can bring people that you know would want to be an active intercessor too, and you have the administrative privileges. So, you know, if people don't share the same mission and vision and they're very negative, you know, after talking and, you know, ministering to them and praying with them, that the scoop is not for them, then you have the option of, you know, asking them to leave or abandoning them if they are too obnoxious. But I believe that people that come to the scoop are not going to be. That's my hunch. The other freedom is if people do not want to be in the group, then you can, you know, click leave group and you're out of the group. But if you, like someone, one of our friends who is a worshiper, we realized that they had some prayer needs, and so I invited him into the group, and this morning he said he just doesn't want to get all these emails. That's just the nature of the group. But he said, how can I be part of the group and not get all these emails and control the flow of emails? Because that could be a nuisance for people. Some people love it, and some people, I happen to like it, especially if it's something that I'm interested in and that the Lord is saying, yes, I want you to be a part of this group. I want you to receive notifications and emails and different things like that. You know, because how else are you going to know how to pray? So lots of times the prayer directives or something that intercessors should know so they can be more effective and different things like that. So what we that's how we use the group. And so I got back to this friend, and I have looked in the help files to find out how we can meet his needs and other needs that are similar. And I found out if he becomes administrator, then he has the right to edit his sentence, you know, but he has to become administrator, so that's for anyone. You know, if you want to control the flow of email and you want to be part of this, and you want to be more proactive, but yet you want to control the flow of email and have a little bit more of a say about the group in that fashion, in that respect, coming from an individual perspective, by all means, you can become an administrator. If it's a one-time deal, you can be an administrator for the purpose of controlling your email, and then, you know, then you can just become a regular member, or you can stay on as an administrator and the more responsible administrators we have, the better off, you know, the better we would be in seeing this dream become a greater reality as far as 24/7 prayer. We have people praying, you know, coming from Uganda on a regular basis, Pakistan, and they've had some major breakthroughs. Lord's been giving us some words for them, and it's been right on. And it's just really wonderful when you collectively have people that are so committed and love the Lord and love each other and just love His ways. I want to see the kingdom of God come to the earth. You would see all this, and we have a person from the UK. When you see all this happening, you marvel. On Thanksgiving, we were, just before we went to our family's house, my mother-in-law's place, Warren Marcus, whom you all heard in previous broadcasts, he is the executive producer of Sid Roth's Messianic Vision on radio.
The time is 12:00 p.m.
And also, it's supernatural. And Sid had planned a trip to go to Israel, and Warren was part of this trip. And lo and behold, Warren is on our team here, and he also has administrative privileges. So he got on our chat, a group chat, just to let us know he's in Jerusalem, all right, and he's praying for us. And we're like, can you put Faith Talk Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group on the wall? And he said, yes, it's done. And we were like, oh, we're in Israel without being physically in Israel. That's how good God is. God is so good, you know. Because we just started, you know, with sounded the alarm. And we started the prayer, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122. And that's what this show rests on. We rest on that scripture. That's our foundation, praying for the peace of Jerusalem until Jesus returns. And so, you know, this is, you know, I urge you, if you have a heart for Israel, and the Lord has showed you in a dream or vision this prayer group, because there's many prayer groups out there on Facebook, but this particular prayer group, you know, you want to come with a clean heart. We start, you know, we have Psalm 51 here right on our site, so you can check your heart. And then you can go through the prayer directives of the following week, come to the prayer chat, and things like that, or post a prayer. It's very flexible, but, you know, we want people to do this in the spirit of the love of God, and not, you know, because they want to promote their ministries, although we, you know, if the Holy Spirit leads us, we will, you know, pray for your ministry as the Spirit leads us. And also, we don't want anybody to solicit their product. Unless the Holy Spirit shows us that it's related to prayer and, you know, it has good fruit, you know. Again, the conditions are you have to be a member or some kind of contributing factor to the establishment of prayer, okay, for the nations and in this day and age. So I hope that settles all some questions there. And I just want to just acknowledge the administrators, and especially the ones that have just sacrificed their time to come on and pray in the group chat, okay? And I'll name them first. I have my student Shelley Newman, and she's evangelist Shelley Newman, and she's going to be graduating in our school of ministry. I think that's so great. Out of 30 students, she's, you know, and it's based on independent study, and, you know, they check in with me and they send me work and I look at it and I correct it, and, you know, I pray with them and for them, and the Lord begins to do a great work. And so Shelley is at that point where she is, the Lord gave her mission and vision for ministry after the work and prayer that she's undergone, prayer, fasting, and the Lord is releasing her, and she's very powerful. She's a very powerful prayer warrior here, and she's a grandmother too. I think her grandmother I don't want to get the number wrong, but it's definitely over 10 grandchildren. And she's very happy as well, her and Tim. Okay, and there's Tina Sellenberg. I believe she's from Minneapolis. Shelley's from Kentucky. Warren Marcus is from Carolina, but he's in Israel right now. Oliva, she's from New Jersey. Let's see, Martin Ferruccia is from Malta, and he was in Boston for a couple of years. He's in Malta right now. And Peter Tozzolino, another student, he has been on from time to time, leaving prayer requests. My husband. And Linda Burns, she's a very powerful prayer warrior. And her and I are constantly writing on Joan Paul Jackson's blog. That's how I got to know her. And now she's coming over to the 24/7 prayer room here and offering up prayers on behalf of God's people. So we thank you, Jesus. And Lars Knutson, I said earlier. Dawn Flaherty from the UK. Cindy Powell, intercessor from Hawaii. Colleen Sherman, an intercessor here from, I believe, the New England area. And so these are the people that, you know, right now are active in Jimmy Moss, he should have been the number one. He's been so faithful. And, you know, when we're not even on there, I see he has the face of a lion. That's his picture. My face is not my face on there, although you can see my face when my husband comes on, because we're coming on as a pair. That's how he has it in his personal account. But I have the station logo for WSTKITV with Jesus, because Jesus gets lifted, not me. And so that's what, you know, that's who comes in. I come in as under that logo. Jimmy comes in under the logo of the lion, and he roars. And when he roars, you know, he'll type it out, roar, and it just goes all over the place. It's just so awesome. And lots of times I've encouraged the other intercessory prayer personnel, I should say administrators of prayer, come in, and, you know, we click. I sometimes put the link in the chat room, because I really want people to get into the spirit of worship, you know, as it relates to IHOP, because they're constantly always offering up prayers and praise and thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. And it just seems like when we get on to pray, it's like it's similar directives, and it just spins off. It's like the wheel within the wheel spinning off the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's just going all over the world, and we're catching it here on Faith Talk Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group here on Facebook. But I've just said enough, and I'm going to just go through the rest of the list, okay? Because I've only went through the people that are actually active, all right? So Shelley Newman, we have Jimmy Moss, we have Tina Sellenberg, Guana Oliva, Jeffrey Caniff, my husband, June Bain, a mentor from Toronto, Canada, the Airport Christian Fellowship, Linda Baines from Coffee Talk Blog, Lars Knutson, he is the shofar blower, Hetzibah Beulah Kate Nana, you've heard her, she represents the youth, and she has Floodgate Ministries, Greta Feister, a worshiper from the Metro Westbridge Church. She hasn't come on yet. She's still waiting on the Lord for the right time. What I want everyone to do. Me, of course, Dr. Shirley Kenneth, Dawn Flaherty from the UK, Cynthia Powell from Hawaii, from Honolulu, Hawaii, Colleen Sherman from New England, Bart Malone from the Bridge Orlando Church in Florida. Alan Bessett, we played some of his songs. He's a worshiper. He worships at the Father Tom's ministry, and then wherever else you want him to. He has an album called, what's the name of the album called, Jeff? As a Deer Pants or something like that? What's the name of Alan's album? Well, we'll get back to that. I think it's As a Deer Pants, but it might be something else. But I see the cover, I see the jacket, but it's just not coming to me right now. But he has an album, and we'll be posting it from time to time. And then we have Warren Marcus, we talked about earlier, from Sid Roth, and he also has this New Day Picture ministry, and also Martin Ferruccia from Malta, Moses Akama from India, Paul David Guidry from he's the worship pastor from the Metro Westbridge Church, and we actually have a link on Faith Talk Live Prayer to his free downloads, but it's through Reverb Nation, and he wants you to vote for him. You know, he wants you to be a fan and vote for him, and because I think the more votes he gets, the greater, you know, the more people will get a hold of his material. I mean, obviously, what he's produced, you know, through worship, and it's from his album Divine Unplugged, and I've actually played it. You know, I believe that it's the song goes, "It's the glory of God," but I'll play that at the end, and you'll see, you'll hear it, and you'll love it. Okay, I don't want to say the wrong title, but I can't go wrong with the beginning of the song. So all these, well, I just ask that you just bless every single intercessor, Lord, do a new thing within their spirit, Lord. I release an impartation, Lord, of prophetic intercessory prayer in their lives, Lord, and Lord, that you would have your way in their lives, and you would bring blessings to them as they step out in obedience to you, in obedience to the bringing the kingdom to the earth through prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I release your spirit, your shalom upon them. Your shalom upon them in Jesus' holy name. Okay. I think I've said enough about that. And I just want to go to the rest of what this show is going to focus in on. And that is the new heart and the kingdom of God. But before that, I am going to play some of Joanne McFadder's tunes. I believe it's Come Holy Spirit, because we want to ask the Holy Spirit to come. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit, and Joanne McFadder's going to lead us in this.
We wait for you.
Okay, that was Come Holy Spirit by Joanne McFadden from her album In the Beginning. Okay, in the beginning was what? There was the Word of God. Okay, now, we are coming into the second hour of the show, and we are going to talk about the importance of the new heart, the importance of the new heart, and the relationship to the kingdom of God within, okay? And I was doing some research, some scriptural research between the Old and the New Testament. Just did a word search through Bible Gateway, and just threw in the term heart. I wanted to find out just how much emphasis is placed on the human heart. Did you know that, let's just go back to the physical heart. The physical heart is a mystery because I just actually took EKG and passed it, and that was very challenging. And in my EKG class, as we were preparing for the medical mission, I found out more about the human heart. It was totally amazing, especially relating to the physiology of the heart. Just this, you know, study of structure, the actual components of the heart, then this active physiology of it. How does it work, all right? And so we got to the how does the heart work part. Because before we even go into this, I wanted to let you know there are four chambers of the heart, which is likened to the four rooms in Hebrews. The four, and in the book of, I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe, or Numbers. The Lord, you know, they talk about the tabernacle of Moses, and there's four chambers, four rooms. And it's related to the heart, you know, the heart of the Lord. And so lots of times we're thinking, you know, metaphorically of the tabernacle as four chambers. Well, the heart has four chambers too. And it has the right atrium and left atrium, and ventricles, the bottom part, the right and left ventricles. And it's separated by valves, okay, that prevent the backflow of the blood from going back into the chambers once it passes through. And, you know, half the blood goes to the body once it's oxygenated, and the half goes to the lungs via the pulmonary artery. And, and there's the gas exchange of carbon dioxide for oxygen, because the body needs oxygen to survive. It gets rid of the CO2 at the minute level at the capillaries, which is very small blood vessels. I'm just giving you a summary about what I'm about ready to tell you. Did you know that science calls the blood, what the definition of the blood is, the river of life? I almost fell on my chair when I heard that, the river of life. And I mean, and that's what we refer to Jesus' blood as. We're always singing the song about the river of life, and it's just so awesome that this is so interconnected. The other mind-boggling thing that just gave me the oh wow aha regarding the human heart is that we were studying the physiology of the human heart, and I had read, you know, in my previous scientific literature from years ago that, and I was very intrigued when I heard this, especially when I was in my introduction to biology, and we actually dissected a frog and then also dissected the earthworm in high school biology, and the earthworm has six hearts. You put acetylcholine, which is a conductor on a heart. The heart of a frog, out of the frog, it beats on its own. And that's, you know, we have that in our heart as a conductor. But the ironic thing is, it's like, where does the heart get the impulses to beat? And science says, all right, that it beats spontaneously. It beats, through an involuntary reflex. Like, you don't really need to think about your heart beating. It generates its own electricity, all right? And that's why the EKG was invented, to measure the electrical impulse of the heart, you know, how it how it contracts, how it gets excited, and things like that. They have done, they do know, for one thing, that during the conductivity part of the heart, when the impulse travels from the right atrium to the next, you know, to the ventricle, and from the right atrium to the left atrium, there's a impulse that travels, electrical impulse to keep it beating, because the idea is to get that blood right into the ventricles, because the ventricles are actually the strongest parts of the heart, and the left side is more so than the other side, because that blood that comes from there goes to the body. The other part goes to the lungs. So the thing being is that you need, you know, it's a certain amount of time that this electrical impulse goes across the upper chambers of the heart. So, you know, to keep the heart thriving, to keep the heart beating, to keep, you know, the blood flowing, you know, so that you don't have, you know, the heart doesn't die, you know, it doesn't decay, it doesn't become ischemic and things like that. That means dead, you know. Nothing that worse than a dead heart muscle, believe me. So anyways, but the wondrous thing about this, and this is why open heart surgery is so successful, you know, once you have the right kind of heart for the right individual based on the blood type, the compatible blood types, that the heart can actually, live on its own, can be preserved in the solutions that keeps the heart, you know, supple, it keeps it going, and keeps it beating on its own. And it's usually through electrolytes. That's why you hear that athletes have to have that Gatorade drink. But if you have too much of the potassium and too much sodium or not enough, you know, it can really throw the heart rhythm off, because the electrical impulse is changing. And so it's just quite amazing. And as they were telling me, as the teacher was teaching me I probably heard this for the fifth time in the history of my education, because I just sat out pre-med, that I was very marveled, because now I'm walking with the Lord. Before I wasn't walking with the Lord, now I'm walking with the Lord, and I'm asking the Lord, where does this electricity come from? And you know what the Lord showed me? It comes from the glory. I'm like, oh, the glory realm. And then he began to show me how the issues of life affect the heart. And what science calls the issue of life is summarized in this one particular word that is very universal, stress. Okay? So stress has a spiritual component, but it also, it has a spiritual component, it affects the heart, and it interacts with life, you know, and it just depends on, you know, what is affecting it. But you really can't pinpoint what the stress is going to do, because if your family is has a predisposition to a heart attack, and the stress, you know, and the way that it responds to the stress, you know, the way the family responds to the stress has been, or been,
the time is 7:00 p.m.
or have been conditioned to respond to certain stressors in the environment, stressors, I should say, then, it's going to have a similar effect, you know. And so either you have to do a couple of things. You have to adjust what's in your environment. You have to adjust your way of thinking, put on the mind of Christ, or get out of the neighborhood. So, you know, it's like one, two, or three. Which one do you pick? All three, maybe, right? So, anyways, I just want to give you that short biology lesson, because we're going to get into Ezekiel. And so the heart is very, 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 close to the Lord's heart, because he created the heart. Created the heart to look like his tabernacle. There's a reason he created the heart, because it helps us get through life. It's where the Holy Spirit lives. But the thing is, we have to make that transition from the natural heart that we're born with to the new heart that he wants to give us. And so, because we have that dual nature in us, and there's always that war between the flesh and the spirit, our hearts can actually literally fail us, through fear. You know, people can drop dead on fear. So, you know, especially when you don't make the Lord, you don't come to Jesus and you don't make him Lord and Savior of your life, you keep everything to yourself. And it can affect your physical heart, okay, until you ask for the new heart. Speak about that. My experience, okay, in Toronto in 1999, I thought that when I came to the Lord that I received a new heart. But I was concerned with, all right, if I truly received the Holy Spirit, why am I thinking certain ways? Why am I repeating the same kind of actions in certain situations and circumstances? Why do I not feel right? Why do I always feel much better when I'm at a conference, but when I come home, why is there not a carryover? All right, and the Lord began to put in my heart, I need to worship more. It's in the worship, it's in the prayer that you establish that connection, that heart flow. But there was one thing that I didn't ask. I kept reading in the scripture. I didn't ask for the new heart, you know. So when I went up to Toronto, it just so happened that particular time that I went up in 1999, I think it was like the first or second time I went up to Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, the Lord was showing me, I want to give you a new heart. And then he began to minister to the leaders. The Lord wants to do some heart surgery in his people today. So it was, I believe it was a healing service. It was on a Sunday evening, just before it was time to go. And I said, I really would love that new heart, you know, because my heart is just, you know, it's like, it's not doing me any good. And if I'm going to, you know, serve the Lord, I really need a new heart. I need to love his people more. I need to, you know, I don't need to be on defense. I just need to see the way he sees. I want to be like more like him. And I need to be happy around my kids. I just need to be more joyful, right? And so I was prayed over. And then I laid out in the spirit. I was kind of still in a semi-comatose state. I was aware of what was going on around me, but I was coming under the submission of the Holy Spirit. So I'm laying out in the spirit, and next thing you know, very quickly, this happened very, very quickly, I see this hand, similar to the hand that many of you have witnessed, that was over my son, the divine hand over my son Joshua. But I actually saw this in the spirit regarding myself. This hand goes out into my chest. I could feel the hand. My eyes were closed. I could see this in the spirit. I could feel the tugging. The tugging on my chest cavity, in medical terms, it's called the thoracic cavity. Opening it up, it was a real quick surgery. Took something out and put something back in. And then I felt like my heart is like bigger than it was before. And every time I talked about it, it just like was pulsating, like resonating warmth from within. And I was like, wow. And I shared this experience with some people that, you know, I had gone up to Toronto and came back, and that was their experience too. The Lord gave them open heart surgery. And he said, wow, the Lord did that with me too. I said, is this how it felt? They said, yeah. It does. The story doesn't stop there. So, probably within the last, probably within a year's time or two of that happening, of that experience, I had an issue with my upper respiratory. It was during the winter when I had no heat, actually. And I really, you know, I was too proud to call any ambulance when things were not, I was kind of uncertain about things. And when it came to my health, I didn't want to see my, I don't want my neighbors who didn't like me because I was a Christian, I didn't want them to see me go out in the ambulance. I didn't want to give the devil the victory. I want to give God the glory. So anyway, I took myself to the emergency room because I had spit up blood, okay, and it, I realized it was because I had an infection right around my thyroid. But I spit up blood. I was very concerned. It was bright red. That means it was arterial. Something was going on. And I thought, I'm like, oh no, I got to get going. I've got to get out of here. and it was actually a combination of pericarditis and different inflammation around the heart muscle, but it wasn't the heart itself. It was an inflamed chest thing going on. And so so I went to the emergency room, and they hooked up the EKG machine, and they took pictures of the heart. And this doctor, I don't know what his name was, he comes up, he says, because I was looking at the EKG, because I had a baseline from before when I was at the hospital, and the EKG now, and there's no need to be concerned. We noticed that your heart is not in the same place as it was before, like it flipped. And I said, it did? And I'm like, yeah, it's just, we just don't know if it's beginning of an enlargement of the heart, but it's a little bit bigger than usual, and it flipped, but it's not in danger, you know, because your vitals are fine, and we're just going to, you know, keep an eye on it, just know that this is what we're seeing. And then the Lord said, that's the new heart that I gave you. And the other thing about the new heart, and this keeps going, the story just keeps going with the new heart. Even prior to that, when we had our food outreach, we took pictures. We were like, you know, we were like a little family. We took pictures with all the help that helped us at the food outreach. And I had this blue shirt on, and the new heart came out on the blue shirt. And this is prior to that confirmation that I received at the emergency room. Probably within that same year, and it was a big white heart, and it was, you know, sit in the same area as the heart inside, and it came out on my shirt, and there was an outline of a heart with a pearl at the apex, which is the bottom of the heart, and you know, the pearl of great price, and it was like, wow, the Lord wanted to show me the white heart. It was white, and it was like it had a little pearl at the end of it, and I thought, the Lord is so good. This, he moved heaven and earth just to show me what he did for me and to me, you know, and that was not my imagination, okay. And so, and it was confirmed in the doctor's report. So I thought I'd share that with you, and you know, I'm going to just read a couple of scripture. I'm going to go to Ezekiel. Let me go to the New Testament, and then I'll go to Ezekiel, because I'm going to pray in Ezekiel, right? And we're going to want you to marvel in what the Lord wants for you, what the Lord wants for His people, what the Lord wants for His chosen people, what the Lord wants for mankind, because of the work, the finished work that Jesus did on the cross through His blood, okay? So this is how important the new heart is to the Lord. You know, one of the things that I regret is that when I did some research on the heart, the Bible Gateway brings it up, but then when I print it up, it doesn't, so, you know, doesn't cite the scripture. It just tells you. It's, you know, there's a word search from John to Revelation. So if any of this sounds familiar to you, I want you to just, you know, on your free time, open up the scriptures and look at, you know, very closely any scriptures related to the heart from the book of John to Revelation. All right, so it says right here, for the first one, but I know that you do not have the love of God in your heart. This is obviously one of the disciples that the Lord, that has ministered to a group of people, in the book of John, you know, the people of the time that Jesus was walking the earth. And then, two, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. So talking about the enemy of this world. So they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. Okay, and then the third scripture, I believe it's from John, because Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. I do not give it as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So the Lord was always concerned about our hearts, because he knows how special it is to continue on in this life physically and also spiritually. And once you receive the new heart, it's almost like a new lease on life, okay? The fifth one, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have come to overcome the world. Then they pray, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. They were referring to the ones that were going to be around, you know, until his second coming. Let's see. I want to get more in. Yeah, and then we're going to talk about the evil heart. And it says right down here in this particular scripture. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? So Peter was talking to Ananias in Acts about that. Let's see. Verse 13 here, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now this is what the Lord wants to do for his people. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in the seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. And it says in scripture, in Philippians, I believe, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know. And it brings, in Psalms and Proverbs, it brings strength to our bones. So, you know, we need our bones to live. This is physical. So, you know, what happens in the spiritual affects the physical and vice versa. Let me see if there's anything else here. Okay. I want to say... Okay. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a simple, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. So only a sinful, generation or people group, ones that are just in rebellion, have unbelieving hearts. So there's two kinds of hearts, a believing heart and an unbelieving heart. The Lord wants us to give us a believing heart. He wants to transform us. And in other words, if there needs to be, it depends on the damage of the heart, I believe. It depends on the damage. I mean, the Lord says in Ezekiel, he's going to give us a new heart. So I want to just keep focused on that, on the new heart. All right. And I had a dream recently. It was so vivid. Another dream. This video, this blog broadcast is going to really have a lot about dreams, but this is in regards to the human heart. And I was very concerned with people's fascination with evil and the occult, and why they chose that over the Lord. In my earlier days, I was a little bit more judgmental, but the Lord has been giving me compassion to pray for people. Because people that didn't know the full extent of what they were doing, would throw witchcraft things my way, and it really wreaked havoc until the Lord started to show me certain things, and he taught me through it, through his Holy Spirit. That's why I have a greater understanding about the nature of a spiritual warfare, and the role of the believer, and what we, how we are called to walk in a measure of authority that is our right to walk in, just because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So, anyways, in this particular dream, my dreams go real fast. I was in this room, and my husband, again, was in the dream, but he wasn't my husband, it was Jesus. He was very silent. He was kind of like observing and bringing me to a place where he wanted me to learn something about the human heart. All of a sudden, he takes my hand, he puts my hand on this thing, the thing appears in my hand. I don't know how, if it appeared in my hand or I put this hand. It was very fast in the dream. And it was, I knew it was the shape of a heart, but the strange thing about it is it was a black heart. And there was a low frequency electricity coming from it. You remember what I told you about the heart, you know, generating its own electricity to, you know, give us life and, you know, to, you know, help us with the body processes and everything so it can pump. And this flow comes from heaven. And so, anyways, this is like a low frequency. I could feel the electricity going through it. It had trouble beating and then it was like there was like a it was almost cut in half, like a shredded heart, you know, and that must be the heart of an unbeliever, especially one that's been hurt and, you know, through life circumstances and situations, and things like that. He was just showing me the condition. He wanted to show me the condition so that, you know, I can receive his compassion for people with broken hearts. His heart was a broken heart. And in the broken heart, there was actually, I could actually see a face. It was like, almost like, you know, if you ever hear those Siamese twins that weren't developed all the way at birth and, you know, the eggs did not separate right away in the fusion process, you know, when it became so it could become two babies, two identical twins. So instead they remained half fused together, and either they shared a heart or there was a certain Siamese twin that maybe the fetus was so small, the bigger baby had engulfed the other twin and it became part of the kidney or whatever, or, you know, or something. Well, this picture, a face inside of a heart, and, you know, it was a little bit of fangish, you know, it had fangs for teeth, and things and cutting things, you know, it says, out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay, and the heart was definitely speaking. It wasn't a good thing, and I really wanted to shut that thing up. I wanted to kill it, you know, before it got any worse. That was my immediate disposition in the dream. And the Lord did a work of compassion in my heart, and I just was like, "What am I gonna do with this thing? What is this? I don't want this." You know, that's what I said. I'm just telling you, I was just myself in the dream, and then all of a sudden, what rose from within me was a prayer of authority. I spoke in tongues. I really wanted to deliver that heart from that evil spirit that was inside of that thing. I mean, it's inside of the heart that was, you know, really destroying the heart. And it just was welling tongues and authority of Jesus and just pleading the blood. And then all of a sudden, I know, and it was so funny. The Lord gave me the anointing of Smith Wigglesworth in the dream. For some of you, Smith Wigglesworth was a Welsh revivalist who was a plumber, and because of his wife's, a plumber and a sinner at one point, like you and me, and, you know, and what happened was she kept praying for his salvation, and he got zapped with the Holy Spirit, and it was like, he rose people from the dead, he punched cancers out of people, he smacked people to life. So, you know, I wasn't thinking about Smith Wigglesworth at the time, but in the dream, I was like, I wanted to squeeze that heart back to life. I wanted to squeeze that thing out. I was smacking that thing. I was like, in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, I was really getting into it. I heard this, oh, I woke up, and I was squeezing my husband's hand because I was holding it. But I fell asleep. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, Jeff, I didn't mean to. I was like squeezing the life out of his hand. Because it was the heart that I had it on. And he said, oh, it's fine. I began to tell him the dream, and then he realized. He goes, oh, wow, that was a real powerful dream. I said, yeah, I really believe, you know, the Lord is really concerned with this generation, and many of the hearts that have gone through a lot of life turmoils and struggles, and, you know, their hearts are becoming black and hardened, and it's shredded and torn, but they're not completely destroyed. And the Lord is saying he's raising up compassionate people that can minister the love and mercy of God to these hearts. But at the same time, he himself from heaven is going to do a quick work. He wants to replace these hearts. He said he wants to give his people heart transplants. You know, something similar to what I received. And he wants to do it sovereignly. He's going to do it in people's sleep. There's an operation room in heaven. I've been to it and several times at the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship and for other areas of my body. And the angels, they come quickly and they come swiftly. They come with anesthesia. And this is what he wants to do for his people. And this is the procedure. And let's flip open to Ezekiel 36, okay? This is our new heart, the new heart chapter. It says, let's see, I'm going to go back to, let me go back up to 22 and just read into it, or maybe the whole thing. Let me read the whole thing, because this is concerning Israel. And what he does for Israel, he wants to do for you. That is the most important thing. I want to get a better perspective. I want to draw you in, just as the Holy Spirit draws you in, okay? All right. Draw us in, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel 36, chapter 36. And we'll go all the way to 37. And I'd like to actually read the Valley of the Dry Bones, too, because, you know, when you have a new heart, you know, you also got to speak life into those dry bones, because without the beaten heart, the bones dry up. What the bones produce is blood, okay? There's marrow. The marrow inside the bone, the meat of the bone, produces all kinds of blood cells. And specifically hemoglobin with oxygen attached to it, it helps keep that heart pumping, all right? It says, a prophecy to the mountains of Israel. Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The enemy said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because they ravaged and hounded you from every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nation and the object of people's malicious talk and slander. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord, of the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, to the desolate ruins and the deserted towns that have been plundered and ridiculed. By the rest of the nations around you, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in my burning zeal, I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom. For with glee and with malice in their hearts they made my land their own possession, so that they might plunder its pasture land. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and the valleys, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I speak in my jealous wrath, because you have suffered the scorn of the nations. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I swear with uplifted hand that the nations around you will also suffer scorn. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruits for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. They will come home to their own land. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past, and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. You will never again deprive them of their children. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And this is how he prophesied to the land first, so the land can produce life for the people. This is what the sovereign Lord says, because people say to you, you devour men and deprive your nation of its children. Therefore, you will no longer devour men or make your nation childless, declares the sovereign Lord. No longer will I make you hear the taunts of the nations, and no longer will you suffer the scorn of the peoples or cause your nation to fall, declares the sovereign Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their actions. Their conduct was like a woman's monthly uncleanliness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions, and wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they have to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name. That was why. He had concern for his holy name. He was being misrepresented. The Lord does not want to be misrepresented anymore by his people, but he is willing to give you a new heart. And we will talk, we're going to look at the operation standards for that. These are the Lord's people, and yet they have to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is he talking to Ezekiel about this. Ezekiel is the prophet, is prophesying to the house of Israel. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. The Lord's lifting a holy standard for his holy name, and his name is Jesus, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. So he's concerned about the heart. He knows that out of the well springs of the heart, the mouth does speak. And if it speaks profanity from an unbelieving heart, it's, you know, his name gets disowned, and it's all for the sake of his name. But Jesus is the way. He's the name. He's in Jesus' name. Every knee on the earth, underneath the earth, and above the earth have to bow. Okay? That's the authority that he has. And the Lord wants to release us to us. That's how much he loves us. All right, so this is the prescription. This is the operation procedure for the new heart. Okay? So what is the issue? It's the heart, you know. It's transitioning from an unbelieving heart to a believing heart, but there has to be some surgery. For I will take you out of the nation. So he's going to take us out, you know. What he does is he takes people from, you know, a nation that causes this condition, or a people group, or a family that causes this condition, or a society that causes this condition. All right. So he will take you out of the nation, of the way of escape. I will gather you. All right, so he takes you out and gathers you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. Okay, and once you're at that place that, you know, where you need to be spiritually and physically, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And that's what happens in baptism. But you also, I believe, have to ask for this new heart. The new heart. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. He will act within you to follow the decrees. He writes his decrees, his beliefs, on the tablets of your heart. And be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. It will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourself for your sin and detestable practices. That's what a new heart does. You look at your ways and you loathe them, and then you ask the Lord for his ways to become your ways. Okay. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says on the day I cleanse you from all your sins. I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land of your heart, the desolate land of your lives, will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to the plea of the house of Israel and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as flocks for offerings at Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So will the ruined cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That is why I felt very joyful when Warren Marcus is in Jerusalem and we were in prayer in our group chat on Thanksgiving. Because, like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, everything that we do rests on Psalm 122, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. There's blessings that are attached to this, but when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you actually go to Jerusalem in the spirit. Some people feel, oh, I don't have the money to go to actual Jerusalem. I've been there once physically, but we can go there over and over again in the spirit, and especially when you are, you know, collectively praying with a whole lot of people. And now that we actually have somebody physically put our group into the wall, the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, we have, we're there. We're right there physically at the Holy of Holies, as well as spiritually at the Holy of Holies. So, there's many levels of walking in the Spirit and living in Spirit in the new heart that Jesus wants to give you and is giving you. And this new heart, it grows within our spirit and it has the power to transform us into the very image and likeness of Jesus. Okay. And I want to read about the Valley of the Dry Bones, because this is all related. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of dry bones. It was full of bones. He led me back forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very, very, very dry. They had no marrow. They had no life in them. All right. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word, O Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will breathe in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise of rattling around, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breathed, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your grave and bring you up from them, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. You will live as a nation, and I will settle you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. That's what he wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do for me. That's what he wants to do. But he begins through the open heart surgery, okay? And it's a real thing. It's a real thing, all right? The heart is so important to the Lord because that's his basis of communication with his people. That's the basis of spirit-to-spirit communication. And I think we're at the end of this broadcast, but there's a lot to ponder. There's a lot to meditate on, all right? You know, with when we receive the new heart, we begin, as it relates to the kingdom of God, we get filled with zeal. You know, zeal for the Lord's house begins to consume us because of the power of the blood. The heart starts, the new heart starts pumping the blood, our circulatory system, and we want to do wondrous deeds for the Lord. It says, zeal for the Lord's house consumes us. I want to go to Matthew 11 about how we are to apprehend the kingdom, but our new heart, you know, when we are in that, that's why this, so, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we get so compelled to do what the Spirit is causing us to do. We get so filled with that Holy Spirit power and the energy of the Holy Spirit. I want you all to flip to Matthew 11 to see just what this is, okay? This is what's behind me doing these broadcasts. This is what's behind me, you know, just doing the exploits and dictates of the kingdom as the Lord shows me. So there was a time where I was very complacent, and I was not making the right decisions in my former nature, in my old heart. And I just was just grieving myself and the Lord because I really wanted to serve the Lord, but I was doing it in my own power, and I was doing it in my former heart. But anyways, let's go to Matthew 11:11. It says, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not been risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing with his new life, and forceful men have laid hold of it. All right, men of valor, men and women of valor, of the strength of the Lord. But in their weakness, they put on Christ, who became their strength after they received the new heart. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay? So, I just wanted to share that with you. And so we, you know, with this new heart, we can now really take the kingdom of God by force. But you know what? The kingdom is from within. So, you know, that's the ironic thing. It's not the kingdom that's from without. It's the kingdom from within. But it's powered now by the new heart that the Lord gives us. And so that's why repentance from our former ways, it rejects the former ways and the former heart, the old heart, and prepares us to receive the new heart. But we have to ask for that new heart. And for those who want that new heart, let's ask the Lord for that. Okay? This is part one. Part two is going to be, you know, in the growth process, because we all grow at different levels. Our minds need to catch up with the new heart, and we will be looking at issues of that. In what circumstances and situations actually, you know, that surround a person, how those circumstances and situations can actually make it harder for people to walk in the fullness of their new heart. Okay, so that's going to be part two. There's a book that I've actually been reading and rereading. It's called Living Out of the Heart That Jesus Gave You. So, you know, many times Christians do not walk in complete victory because they have a very hard time with this, with their new heart, and and comprehended with their mind. It's supposed to be a faith walk, but somehow their mind gets, it's all cluttered in, and we're not thinking in the mind of Christ because of abuses and situations, circumstances related to the spirit of fear. So we'll talk about that, and there'll be ministry into that, into those matters of the heart. There are times where people remember the how it was to live in the old heart, and somehow they can't get it out of their mind. There's a pattern that's been established. There's habits that have been fixed. So, you know, we will look into, into detail, into those details in the next broadcast in part two of the New Heart and the Kingdom of God. But let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I want to acknowledge that I need the transformation. I need you. I need your heart. And I ask the Lord, and I give you permission to take out the unbelieving, black, stony heart, the heart full of blasphemy and cursing. And I give it to you, and I ask, Lord, that you would replace that with the heart of flesh, the believing heart, that your heart, that, you know, your heart of love that you have always designed and destined for me to receive and walk in. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I give you permission to do the surgery within me. And Lord, I ask that, Lord, you release your Holy Spirit in a very powerful way to convict me of any wrong thinking in my mind that doesn't match up with the new heart that you've given me, that doesn't match up with the mind of Christ. And I ask for the mind of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you would give me abilities beyond my abilities with this new mind and new heart. That, Lord, we would together do exploits for the kingdom of God here upon the earth. In Jesus' holy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we're going to end this part one of the New Heart in the Kingdom of God with the song from Paul David Guidry's album. And I said it wrong at the beginning of this broadcast. The Unplugged Divine 2. I think I'm saying it right. I hope I'm saying it right. But, you know, you can actually go to his site through our Faith Talks Live Prayer. And, you know, for those who want to become intercessors, feel free to do so. The Lord is doing some great things. You know, you don't have to be perfect to be an intercessor. Just come with a clean heart. You know, pure hands and a clean heart, and you can, you know, check in through Psalm 51, and you know, the Holy Spirit would be glad to cleanse you and prepare you. Okay, so God bless you. I love you. Bye now.
It's like the fog settling from the sky, carrying the rain. Like the mist rising up from the ground, carrying the morning dew. Can you feel it in the air? Can you feel it in the air? glory.